And that is Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding. And why are we listening to that? Because it is Tuesday, December the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And it is the hymn assigned for this coming Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent. And with us is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good. It looks like the weather's going to be going up in the 60s.
Well, I hope so. That's not what I heard. I heard it's going to be 39 high today.
Well, not today.
That's what I heard.
In the next days.
Oh, well, that'd be fine with me.
I didn't think it was that bad at all out there. There's no wind.
We're probably getting all the heat from those fires out in California.
Oh, boy.
Boy, isn't that terrible?
Yeah, the fifth largest one they have right now.
Oh, boy. It's rough.
How would you feel if your house was reduced to ashes?
I'll tell you, pretty bad.
Me too.
Where do you begin? I mean, you know what I mean? I feel the same way with, I've often thought, if I lived down in Florida or along the coast where they have these hurricanes,
right.
All it would take is just one time of nailing plywood over those windows. That would take one time from I'd move out of there, I'll tell you.
Really?
Oh, if I could, yes.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Well, I wouldn't.
I don't deal too well with disasters.
I put the plywood up, and I wouldn't ever take it down. It's like Christmas decorations. Once they're up, why would you ever take them down in February?
Yeah, those crazy bakers down the street, yeah, they got plywood all over their windows.
And their Christmas decorations are still up, but they don't turn the lights on.
You're one of those, huh?
That's one
of them. Well, at least you find time to get them up. I don't even try to decorate my house.
No. The only thing I do is hold the ladder while Louise puts them up. Okay. Yeah, she's got a real nice nativity scene.
Oh,
out of
yeah.
Wood and such. And just put
Louise,
that up.
You got a nice nativity scene, huh?
That's my wife.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Is it a special one?
She saw it at another person's house who was a member of the Missouri Synod. Went and talked to him, got the directions, made it, and it's really nice.
Okay, well, how do you like the one out here in the. The vestibule out here in the entryway, it's beautiful out there. Have you noticed that? It's beautiful manger scene.
Yeah. Yeah, they're...
It's got the wise men. It doesn't have too many shepherds, but it's mostly the wise men. I think it's geared more actually for Epiphany with the coming of the wise men.
Yeah, Issues Etc. has an advertisement where you can order outdoor scenes.
No kidding.
And they say they're strong enough against snow, ice, and wind. So people should look at that because very few city halls are putting them up anymore.
Oh, I know.
But churches should.
I was talking to my sister. My sister teaches in a public school.
Yes.
And she says they can't even put a Christmas tree up.
Yeah, I know.
She got in trouble. She was showing a movie of Frosty the Snowman for the kids. Yeah. And there was one scene where just a real quick scene where Santa Claus entered. And she got in trouble for that.
Boy.
Can you imagine that? That's the situation in some of our public schools today.
Yeah. One of the items I sell is a CD that sings Martin Luther's Catechism, both the Catechism and the meaning.
Those are great.
And it was bought by a woman who drives a school bus. And she says, boy, wouldn't that be something if I just put that on my school bus while the kids were... And I said, are you private or public school? She said, I'm public school. And I said, I'll visit you in prison.
Yeah, that's the sad situation that is.
Then why is the voice thrilling at this time of the year? Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding. Why don't you start off reading the first stanza, okay, and then we'll look at it.
Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. Christ is near, we hear it say. Cast away the works of darkness, all you children of the day. Now, is that referring to John the Baptist? Is that the thrilling Christ? Is that the thrilling voice he's talking about here?
Well, it can't be Jesus saying
right.
Christ is near.
Right.
It would be John the Baptizer. Particularly, remember he says, behold the Lamb of God who...
Who taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes, and he's near. And remember, what was the baptism of John the Baptizer?
It was for repentance.
Yes, that's a huge difference. So his was a preparation. I mean, how can you not understand law and gospel to therefore refer that the law is spoken first to prepare people? Because unless they realize that they have works of darkness, there's no need, as it says, to be forgiven.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Well, I suppose this could be for both. Is this more for the first coming? Or is this more, you know, his coming when he approaches, you know, when Jesus first approaches to be baptized? And or he comes for the first time? Or is this talking also about his final coming?
Neither.
Or both?
It's talking about his coming into your heart.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
No kidding. I hadn't thought of that.
Yes.
I hadn't thought of it. I don't use this hymn that often. It's a little bit different melody.
I would assume that John the Baptizer is doing a baptism of repentance, so when he talks the gospel, it comes into the heart of people.
Uh-huh.
And they become believers.
Well, he's talking about, I remember John the Baptist, how he said, you know, and all Judea went out to hear him in the wilderness.
Yes.
And remember the different stratas of society asked, and what shall I do? What shall I do?
Right.
And that's where he's saying, cast away the works of darkness.
Yes. The gospel reading for this Sunday is perfect for this, because the people who had been sent from the Pharisees,
yes,
they asked him, why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? Because when they asked him, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? No. Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us.
Yes.
and then he says, of course, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. In fact, I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. And remember, he says, I baptize you with water. And another gospel, he says, but the one coming after me will baptize
you with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So I would definitely say that the thrilling voice is that of John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, you would think, how can it be thrilling if you're telling people how bad they are?
Well, everyone went out to hear
it. I know.
Everyone went out to listen. It says all Judea. You know, I mean, he just gathered crowds because he was, you know, he didn't put on airs. He was straightforward.
Right.
He preached from the heart and not like the Pharisees
Well, let me give a human analogy of what's going on here. How hearing bad news can be thrilling. I was driving around in our one vehicle. It's a van. And I started, every time I hit the gas, I heard bad noise.
Uh-oh.
You know, something turning
Uh-oh.
Around.
Yeah.
So I took her to the gas station, and I said, open up the hood and see if you can hear what it is. I was afraid it was something inside the motor.
Mm-hmm.
So they opened up the hood, and they...
That's
they
what they
sneezed.
Found.
And they couldn't find anything. They couldn't hear anything.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, well, sit in the car. When they sat in the car, as soon as he sat in the car, he heard it. And he said, you know what that is? I said, no, it's a loose muffler.
Ah.
So there was a diagnosis of what was wrong that was about $1,000 cheaper than what I thought was going to be.
Exactly.
So and that's why I was thrilled.
That's right. That's right. You keep things in perspective.
Yes, because these guys are really good and they can fix things. And so and Annie told me, you won't believe this, that my engine light was on.
Oh.
And that they looked at that as a catalytic converter.
Uh-huh. That's expensive.
It really is. Until he told me, See, I go to Dobbs.
Yeah.
And once they fix something, it's guaranteed for life.
Oh,
some
yes,
things.
Yes.
And they said, by the way, both those things are under warranty.
No kidding.
The muffler and the catalytic. So I had them do an oil change since I hadn't had one for 6,000 miles.
So you were thrilled at even the bad news.
Yes, because once you hear the bad news, and it's not as bad as you think. Even though we confess we're poor, miserable sinners, it does not get as bad when you hear he came to forgive.
That's right.
You see.
Yeah.
So the diagnosis may sound bad, but then the treatment is what makes it a thrilling voice.
You are covered.
You're
with
covered.
His robe of righteousness.
Yeah. You know, that word covered is found in Genesis when they're putting fig leaves on the glass.
And God covered them with animal skins.
Yes. And according to the experts in the Hebrew, that is also a derivative of the word forgive.
How about
cover.
That?
We're covered with the blood of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I'll read stanza two. Startled at the solemn warning, let the earthbound soul arise, Christ its Son, that's S-U-N, all sloth dispelling, shines upon the morning skies. So, why were people startled?
Startled at the solemn warning. Well, you know, John the Baptist, you know, his preaching cut to the heart. I mean, he did not mince words.
No.
He preached the law and all its fierceness. And
I remember with soldiers, they're not supposed to take.
And what shall we do? You know.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a startled, a solemn warning. And you can understand the Pharisees were really startled.
Oh, yes.
Because.
You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
That's right.
How'd you like?
Oh, boy.
Brood of viper. Oh,
you
man.
You know, so many people have a picture of John the Baptizer, the apostles, and even Jesus as being calm and never angry and this sort of thing.
No.
In fact, somebody asked me a question, and this is a technique I use. When somebody asks me, is this a sin? And then they tell me what they're talking about. The way I figure it out, I say, did Jesus ever do it? And if he did, then it can't be a sin. So somebody asked me, is it a sin to be angry?
Oh, yeah. He had righteous anger.
Absolutely.
He overturned the table and money changers.
And then remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. So there is, as you just said, righteous anger and unrighteous anger.
Right.
If you're angry at a person because they don't want to go to church, it's not necessary, that's righteous anger. But if you're angry at them because they got a promotion ahead of you,
that's unrighteous
anger. That's unrighteous anger, yeah. And how do we make that distinction? If your anger is out of self-interest, that's unrighteous.
Right.
But if it's an anger out of Christ's interest,
right. For that individual especially, you know.
And I don't remember any time. I don't think Peter appreciated, get thee behind me, Satan.
No. Oh, no.
But that was righteous anger because he was standing in the way of God's plan from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a technique I use about a number of things. Did Jesus ever do it? And if he did, it can't be sin in and of itself.
Right.
But you have to still make the distinctions because sometimes it is sin.
Usually it is.
Yeah.
Not always.
No.
Okay. You want me to read three?
Yes.
See, the Lamb so long expected comes with pardon down from heaven. Let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all, to be forgiven.
I believe that in that verse, there's two words that really refer to the same thing. The one is pardon, and the other is forgiven.
Mm-hmm, right.
You see, we normally, I've said this many a time, if you ever want to know how the world thinks of concepts from the Bible, look them up in Wikipedia or something like
yes,
that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Like the word pardon, we would often give a pardon to someone because they were really not held that responsible. Like there was a pardon for people who didn't go to the Vietnam War and fled to Canada or something like
right.
that. You know. And
well, sometimes, you know, Gerald Ford, remember, he pardoned Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Nixon was guilty.
That's right.
And had to resign.
Now, in that sense, the word pardon kind of does mean forgiveness.
That's right.
Because
yeah.
what forgiveness is you're not held accountable
uh-huh.
for your sin.
Right.
In fact, I found that very word, accountable, in one of the Romans passage that Paul talks about, that we're not held accountable. I thought I had made that up, but no, it's in the Bible. So I was glad to see that.
Yeah, yeah. That's always comforting to find when you say something in a sermon, and, oh, yes, that is in the Bible, right?
Yes. Why? Well, I was preaching, I think it was a Lenten night, though.
Yeah.
And I forgot to put my phone on mute, and it went off under my vestments.
Oh, boy. So you had to scramble to get under your vestments.
Yeah, to stop it. And I pretended, I cut off the caller immediately,
yeah.
but I pretended to listen to it. And then I said, oh, God wanted me to make a different point than I just did. And they all laughed. I made a different point. But see the lamb so long expected. Why? Why were they expecting a lamb?
Well, all the lambs of the Old Testament, the ones that had been sacrificed every Passover, you know, they all pointed to Christ.
That's
they
right.
They all pointed
very
to Christ.
Very good, yes.
He is the Lamb of God that fulfills all that.
That's right. And John the Baptizer knew that very well.
Right.
When he said that. And what I find interesting, one of the best books to buy, even though many of them are going to buy that only in English, is a concordance. And the word lamb wouldn't be a problem. And if you look up the word lamb, one of my favorite passage in the whole Bible, my favorite chapter is Revelation 5.
Yes, I know.
When Jesus comes back as a slain lamb.
Or bloody lamb.
Well, it says slain.
Was he slain? Yeah, I guess he was. It does say he was slain.
Yes, right. As a slain lamb. And he alone becomes worthy to take the scroll, from the Father.
With seven seals
and
open the scroll. He's the only one that can do it. He's
yes.
the only one that could redeem all mankind.
A lot of people don't realize that when they hear the term four horses of the apocalypse, that's the first four seals.
That's right.
War,
yes.
tyranny, famine, and death.
Right. That's just one seal, right?
No, that's
all. Is that all of them?
That's four of them. Then there's another three after.
That's right. That's right.
And in those four, those are the horses of Satan. But Jesus is holding the reins.
Yeah, what are those horses again?
War,
tyranny,
famine,
and death.
Yes.
Yeah, no
yeah.
kidding. Jesus is holding the, you know, I've never, no kidding. Is that right? He's holding the reins.
Yes.
Does it say that specifically?
That's what Brighton in his commentary points out.
Well, know. It's got to be correct. If Brighton said it in his yeah. commentary, it's got to be.
That's a
gospel
great
truth.
Commentary. I don't know who's writing the new series commentary on Revelation. It may not
Do we need another one after Brighton?
This one is geared for laymen, although you can pretty well understand Brighton's.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't think you can have too much.
Right.
If it's correct. You know, you're always learning new
sure,
insights.
Sure.
But I never even preached on Revelation until I took the course with Brighton because I couldn't understand a lot of the stuff in it.
Yeah, he was excellent. God rest him.
Yeah, the biggest point he made is if you know the code, it's easy. And where's the code? It's the Old Testament.
Old Testament, right.
Yeah, and I did a Bible study on that where I went through every verse in Revelation and showed its partners of the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament,
the
yes.
help. Yeah. Yeah, I found that not long ago. It's 130 pages long, and all it is Bible verses, one after the other.
Wow.
Yeah. I really need to reprint that. Trouble is, I had typed
I don't think
it
I've up. Got a copy of that.
No. Well, I only gave it to my friends.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stanza four, please.
Okay. So when next he comes in glory, and the world is wrapped in fear. He will shield us with his mercy and with words of law. Love, rather, draw near. No, love. Big difference.
Yeah, a little mess up on long gospel there.
Sorry.
No.
Want me to read it again?
Nope. When he comes in glory and the world is wrapped in fear, what does that mean?
Well, of course, when he, you know, the scriptures talk about when he comes, those that are not in him, those that do not believe right. him, they'll wish the mountains could fall on them or the hills
That's
cover
right.
them.
Well said.
You know, they'll be, you know.
And here the word world, I would say, refers to unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the opposite of world would be the church.
I'm looking here. So when he next comes in glory and the world is wrapped. Yeah, you're right. The world would be wrapped. We're not going to be fearful. We have no reason to be fearful when he comes again.
Not when he comes again, but how many Christians, in fact, on tomorrow's Insight Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about the fact that the Bible says that on Judgment Day, you better be without spot or blemish. Now, I don't want to talk about it right now. I want to wait till tomorrow. But that makes even Christians fearful. In fact, you know what my definition of when somebody is truly in repentance is? When they fear God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people are fearful, too, when it talks about all the elements dissolving and and heaven and earth passing away with a
But
great...
you're most fearful regard to your sins. I mean, you are talking to a couple who want to get married, but they're living together.
Uh-huh.
And you throw at them Ephesians passage 5 about those who are doing sexual immorality may not be part of the kingdom of God, this kind of thing. So that's fearful.
Yes.
And my goal every time I preach the law is to get people to fear God.
Right. Well, sure, you want to bring them to their knees.
Yes.
You want to bring them to the point where they realize, God help us, the only way out is through Jesus.
What are the first words of Luther's explanation of the first commandment?
Fear and love God. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
First.
Right.
Yes, that's a proper understanding of repentance. All right, why don't you read the last stanza?
Honor, glory, might, dominion to the Father and the Son with the ever-living Spirit while eternal ages run.
So there's a triangle?
Yeah, there's a triangle. That means it's a doxological verse. It talks about the Trinity.
That's right.
And you should stand for it.
Yes. A lot of, like the organists I've been affiliated with, after the fourth verse, they'll have a little interlude.
Yeah, right.
Which
right.
reminds people to
Signals
stand.
Signals people, right.
Yeah. Although they should start an interlude when people sit at the beginning of the first hymn, stand up for Jesus. And they're sitting. What hymn do we always stand up for?
A Mighty Fortress Is Our
Very
God.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, honor, glory, might, dominion. Those almost are words taken from Revelation.
Right, right. I think you're right.
When God the Father is to be given honor and glory and has dominion and might means he's all powerful, then they're giving to God the Son in chapter 5.
That's right.
The same words.
Mm-hmm.
To the Father and the Son. I just don't understand Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe that Jesus is God. Because there they worship the Father and the Son. But I find it interesting if you look at a Jehovah's Witness translation for the word worship, when it's referring to the Father, they say worship. But when it's referring to the Son, the English translation is praise.
Yeah, I've always heard them make the distinction. They believe Jesus is the Son of God, but that he is not equal to God. That's what they say.
I know.
Which is sad. And do you know, don't have Christmas. You know, they don't really celebrate Christmas. Well, how sad that is.
Yeah,
think
in fact, I was just told by a woman who has a friend who said, we don't celebrate Christmas because there's no time, the Bible says, that they were joyous over Christmas. And I gave her some Bible passage. The shepherds were joyous.
Yeah.
The wise men were joyous.
Right.
The angels were joyous.
Right.
And I said, here's how you deal with false doctrine. You go back to her and say, oh, So for Christmas, your husband gives you a Lexus, but you cannot be joyous over it because nowhere in the Bible does it say to be joyous when you get a Lexus.
You got him.
Oh,
you
I
got him right there.
It's false teaching is always inconsistent with what they believe elsewhere.
Yeah.
And your task
That's
is,
a good point. Say that again.
False teaching is always inconsistent in a person's mind because they don't use the same kind of logic or reasoning in other areas.
In other areas, yes.
And you just show them the other areas, you know, and it works every time because they're in trouble. You going to be with us next?
Planning on it.
Yeah.
God willing, yes.
By the way, if you're around Thursday, Wes is coming in. We're going to Pizza Hut if you want to join us after. I know your church isn't far from here, but that's up to you.
I'd love to, but I've got a commitment.
Oh, yep. Okay. All right, go buy your presents for your wife. All right, tell me when you're Wednesday.
Wednesday night, it's 7 o'clock. We are looking at Advent adverbs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Well,
something different.
That sounds pretty good. All right, I'm Tom Baker, Mark Smith. Tomorrow, Insight Wednesday. How can you be spotless and blameless? Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.